As we mentioned, tonight will be our congregational meeting after our worship service. So there will be a short sermon, and then we will offer the Lord's Supper to those who would like to partake of it. And then after the Lord's Supper is served, then we'll go right on into the congregational meeting. There will not be there'll be the announcements. I will do the announcements after the Lord's Supper, and then we'll go into the congregational meeting. And then after the congregational meeting, we'll have a closing prayer. Let me get this on here. You know, there are those today, and well, they have for several years been called humanists. We have called them secular humanists, and I assume they're still going by that name. But they've been around a long time. Their beliefs are stated in their humanist manifestos. There was one that was drafted in 1933, and then there was another manifesto that was drafted 40 years later in 1973, called Humanist Manifesto Number 2. And then Humanist Manifesto Number 3 was written 30 years later in 2003. Consider with me some of the statements that are made from Humanist Manifesto Number 2, which was written in 1973, and then I'll quote also from Manifesto Number 3. But Number 2 says, "As non-theists, we begin with humans, not God, nature, not deity." Also it says, "But we can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species. While there is much that we do not know, humans are responsible for what they are or will become. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves." And then also, "We affirm that moral values derive their source from human experience. Ethics is autonomous and situational, needing no theological or ideological sanction. Ethics stems from human need and interest." End of quote. Also from the Humanist Manifesto Number 3, it states, "The responsibility for our lives and the kind of world in which we live is ours and ours alone." End of quote. And so these humanists, this humanism is a philosophy or outlook on life that is man-centered, not God-centered. These humanists believe that we live in a world without God who created us, and that man is the final authority concerning morals and values. If man has problems, he will have to save himself, they say. And so these people are trying to determine a new future for mankind without God and without His Word. And they've been around since we know at least 1933 and even prior to that. And I want to say that what our world has become here in the United States today has been to a great extent influenced by these people, by the secular humanist. They have been behind really what has been taught in schools, what's been taught in the universities, and what many of our young people growing up today now believe. And what they are really trying to determine or to develop is a world without God. A world that's made up of people who are non-theist. And they believe that's best for mankind. Well, in Romans chapter 1, Paul shows the consequence of a world who refuses to acknowledge God. And I think what we find in the world today is exactly what we would expect of a world that's influenced by this kind of thinking, by a thinking that there is no God. And what we find in Romans chapter 1 is a world that came as a result of those who refused to acknowledge the true and living God. Notice in verses 19 and 20, well, let's go back to verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." I want you to notice here that Paul is saying that the things of God are known. He says that, verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. But what did they do? Well, it says in verse 18, these men suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. So here was the truth about God, which was made known, which they knew, but they suppressed the truth. They hindered the truth in their own unrighteousness. They didn't want to accept that truth. Well, how did they know that truth about God? Well, look at verse 20. He says, "For," that word "for" there here says, here's the reason that they knew God. It says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So how did they know God? Well, the Lord made Himself known by the things that are made. His invisible attributes, His eternal power and Godhead are clearly seen, it says, through the things that are made. So as we look at the world around us, we know that there is an invisible God, an eternal God. And the people of this day saw that. But they suppressed the truth. They hindered it. And that's exactly what the humanists are doing today. We know that there's a God. There's no question. Anybody that's reasonable can know that there is an intelligent designer who designed this world. When you look at the world around us, the things that are made, we know that there has to be an intelligent designer. With the order and design, the sophisticated systems of the world in which we live, and we could describe them, and we know more today than what they did in the days of Paul. And we know that there has to be a God who created all of these things. And so these here who refused to acknowledge this God who had revealed Himself unto them by the things that He had made, and those who do not acknowledge Him, He says concerning them that they are without excuse. And that is true today of those who refuse to believe in God. But notice what it goes on to say then about them. It says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. And so they changed the glory of the incorruptible God and made them out of wood and stone, metal, and they called them their gods. That's what they did in that day, refusing to acknowledge the true and living God. And while the humans today would scoff at the foolishness of the heathen and his making of images and worshiping them, the humanist is just as foolish and without excuse when he changes the truth of God for other lies, saying that there is no God who created, or that man is just the result of chance and evolved through natural processes. They're just as foolish when they look at the world around us and come to those conclusions. When we look at the world around us with all the intricate systems, we know that there is a God, and those who reject God has abandoned reason. Now, Paul goes on to say here in Romans chapter 1 that when man did not glorify God as God, nor were thankful, what happened? Well, it began a process of reasoning in which he professed to be wise, but he became a fool. Notice beginning with verse 23, or verse 24. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So what happened here is because they refused to acknowledge God, and they suppressed the truth, then God gave them over to their way of life, to the way that they wanted to live. And what he describes here is a condition of man that comes as a result of a world that refuses to acknowledge God, a world without God. Notice what he says. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Notice what he describes here. First of all, he describes the vile passions of homosexuality. And they certainly have become rampant in our time and have been given a stamp of approval, even by our government, as they have legalized homosexual marriages and the media has promoted that. Man today is characterized by unrighteousness in his dealings, as we see all kinds of dishonesty in business and lying and corruption in government. Don't we see that? There's maliciousness of many kinds, as we read of fightings and rape and murder, sexual immorality, sexual relations outside of marriage, as we see more and more young people living together outside of marriage. Well, what is this? This is the inevitable result of humanistic thinking. It's moral corruption, moral degradation. And we need to be reminded that that's what's happening in this world. That's the reason that we're becoming what we're becoming in this world, is because of a refusal to acknowledge God. Now, the atheist and the humanist will say no. They'll say, this is what's best, and we can decide what's best for mankind. We can determine what is right and what is wrong. And we can then make a good world with the world in which we live. That's what they say. But what is becoming of this? Of this philosophy and those who are being influenced by it? Well, we see it. This moral degradation that is characterizing our world today. And why not? I mean, we can understand the logical progression of this. If there is no God, then there is no absolute moral standard. Then it is true that morals are autonomous, that each person can decide for himself what is right and wrong. And that's the conclusion that you will draw when you say that we are non-theist. We don't believe in a God. And so, okay, who's then going to direct my life? Well, I will. And so if a man wants to get up in a motel room in a high story of that hotel room and begin to kill people, and who could say then that he is wrong? Someone says, well, he's hurting others. That's not good for mankind. Well, he could say it's good for him. It makes him feel good. Maybe that's what he feels is best, just like Adolf Hitler, no doubt, who felt it was best to eliminate a certain race of people here upon this earth. He felt that that was the right thing to do. And who is to say that he is wrong if there is no God and if all morals are autonomous? The point is that is the logical conclusion. That's where we go. And that's where men have gone. Where many of the atheists today do not want that kind of world. That's the world they have provided for. The humanist does not want the chaotic world that is the logical end of the presupposition that there is no God. And yet, the humanist does not want the responsibility that comes from the belief in God as the Creator and ultimate judge. Therefore, the humanist finds a place in between the logical consequences of these opposing views. And though he is altogether inconsistent, he wants some sense of moral standard for his own protection without accepting the responsibility of serving God. He is altogether inconsistent, In other words, there's no basis upon which you could say that the murderer is doing wrong in killing him, but he surely wants somebody to protect himself from that murderer. But there's no logical basis for it. In other words, we have a world that is in chaos. And what I believe that we need to do is we should push the logical end of the presupposition, or their presupposition, for them to realize the chaos and the horror of the view of man being a product of chance. And if he will see that and see that this is the logical consequence of a world without God, then maybe he will be motivated to look at the magnitude of evidence for God and be led to believe, yes, there is a God. And that's what we want to do, is to try to bring people to the realization of what are the consequences if there is no God. Read Romans 1. Look at the world around us. And that's the logical end. Well, is that what we want? No. Well, look at the evidence now that there is a God. And maybe they will then see the need for God in this life. And so let's do that. Let's talk about the evidence for God. Let's talk about how that God does exist and try to get people to see this and that He has revealed His will to us. And we have it in the Bible. We look for the evidence for the divine inspiration of Scripture, and that this Jesus who lived upon the earth about 2,000 years ago, He truly rose from the dead the third day. And He is Lord and King. And present that evidence so people might see that and be led to believe in God, to come to Jesus and find that peace and that joy in Christ. And where you have a world that's made up of believers in God who truly follow Him as He has revealed His will in Scripture, then you've got a world. You've got a world that has peace and that will be filled with joy. Well, there may be some here this evening who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord. And if that be the case, we want to encourage you to come to Jesus tonight that you might be saved. If you're not a Christian, come. Do what Jesus commands you to do to be saved. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith before this group. And then be baptized in His name for the remission of sins. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away, then repent, confess your sins, and pray God for forgiveness. And come forward and we'll pray on your behalf. Don't leave here without knowing that you are forgiven, that you're saved, that you have the hope of eternal life. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.